Welcome to Roast with the Host Morning Show. I'm one of your hostesses.
Yeah, that's you, Nicky.
With the most assist, man. God, God, God.
Yes, sir.
Me, Big Jai, and the biggest of the big homies, Mouthpiece.
Yeah, Shan.
Mouthpiece, man.
Yeah,
hey, man, where you get your
biggest homies at, man?
Where you get your grill done at, Blood?
Yeah. I got it, man, through the homie, man. Dr. Connolly, Thomas Connolly, man.
Dr. Connolly.
AKA the Donna Grills, man. He did a great job on
that's
me.
That's dope. That's
he's
dope.
He's the buffest dentist in the world.
Hey, actually, he's going in for a competition right now, bodybuilding.
This nigga looks like a Hulkamaniac dentist. Like,
man, for real. Gamma rays all in his office.
Damn. Yeah, I'm trying to get him to do some work on my mouth. Pause.
Because he ain't trying to go to the Dominican.
Yeah, I'm not trying to have to go to a South American country and deal with somebody, you know.
They give him chiclets.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Yeah, chiclets.
He did a good job, though, man. I know people always talking about it, huh?
Yeah, nah, it's crazy because I ain't going to lie to you. Ever since I got it, jobs have been coming in. It's crazy how people call me up and the connection of me saying, what's your name, by the way? Mouthpiece. And then they look at my mouth. It's like, oh, shit, it fits.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's been working like crazy ever since I got it.
That's dope.
That's super dope, man. What's going on with you, Jai?
Hey, man, chilling, brother. This is trying to make life happen for myself, man. Keep it going. Keep it grooving and all that.
Hey, man, we got to go harder on this content.
All day.
I'm going to tell you why. There's going to be a strike in Hollywood.
Oh, shit.
There's going to be a writer's strike.
It's coming. Ain't it already here, low-key?
It's damn near here. And you know what they're going to turn where to content?
Us.
We got to create more content.
Yeah. I'm with that.
Yeah.
And if the actors go on strike, it's going to be even crazier because the actors are currently fighting for residuals because I don't know if you know this, but if you book a role and they stream it, you don't get residual income from that. But with normal TV shit, like once you book something in the contract, you make residual income every time they play it.
Off the broadcast.
And even the snippets?
Even, nigga, if it's streamed, you don't get no bread as far as residual.
Right.
Everything is a buyout.
That's crazy.
So they're going to turn to us.
Right.
And we got them. We got
them. Me in the next shit, man.
Hey, you talking
about? I was big enough to be in cuddle season. That nigga had me in cuddle
season.
All these 300-pound niggas.
Hey, bro. That's the only reason why you wasn't in it. I said, damn. Y'all been seeing my nigga
Craig. I'm 260, nigga.
Y'all been seeing my nigga Craig work out and shit. I said, damn, this nigga getting slim and trim on us, man.
Well, call me, nigga.
You know what I'm saying?
I know some good belly rubbing bitches.
Yeah.
I've never been a good beggar, man.
Oh, I hear that.
I am the homie. Everybody got a homie like this, man. Sometimes I just starve. Fuck it.
Oh, wow. Now, I believe in saying something.
You hungry? Nigga, stomach growling. No, I'm straight.
I believe in saying something.
And I won't rob you if I get hungry. Some niggas, if they go an hour without eating, they already plotting on how to rob you.
On the homie. Yep. Sorry, man. Yep. I'm hungry, man. I ain't eating 2 days.
And if you that type of dude who feel like, well, if my homie ain't give me what I need, then you know what's next, nigga. Ski mask. You a bitch ass nigga.
So what? Like that, boom.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, you're a
bitch. This nigga the director behind the director.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But he back there whispering. This way.
Put it this way. I'm going to say.
Like his fingers made it louder. Nigga started doing it.
Right.
We didn't start understanding until this came out, nigga.
This nigga saying,
we
come here.
Then.
That's happened.
What you saying, man?
That nigga was out there giving out traffic directions.
Are you a man if you accept a false apology from somebody? Sometimes motherfuckers apologize to us when it's not sincere, and we just accept it.
Accept it, meaning like go back to how it was, or accept it like, all right, this nigga say you sorry. I don't believe him, but fuck it.
Well, just to avoid the drama. Because I feel like, as men, I feel like it's important to calibrate shit correctly, but sometimes we don't want to be bothered. You know, because if you leave things unsettled normally because of the way the human brain is, shit is automatically going to relegate to its lowest form.
I think depending on the relationship I have with the person, if the person is important to me, then I gotta get to the bottom of it. Nah, nigga, you don't mean that, bro. I can tell.
Right.
Matter of fact, let's figure things out, bro. Let's work this shit out. Let's make it make sense.
Right.
But if I don't really give a fuck about you, hey, my bad, y'all. I just, you know, my fault, bro. And I know he ain't sincere. I don't really give a fuck about him. I'm like, all right, nigga, I probably won't have this thing in my life no more anyhow. So.
Right.
So.
I was on LaRussell's page. Man, I'm a fan of his work.
Russell's.
Shout out to Lil Russell.
Lil Russell, he a dope rapper, man. Shout out to dude.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Russell from Vallejo.
Yeah.
I mean, he definitely is a smart guy, positive vibes, right. Nothing but positive things to say about him. But he posted something today, and I commented on it. And in the post, he said this is the first ever time where fans can make money with an artist, referring to his business model. Right. And me knowing the shit I know, I put that's a lie on his page. Mm. And then somebody commented under, oh, you a hater. Why you hating? And I said, hold on, man.
Just because a nigga don't agree.
Let me tell you something, bro. I'm a hip-hop head, nigga. I'm a hip-hop head. Right. Fuck who's hot right now. I'm a hip-hop head. I don't know how old Lil Russell is.
Right.
I've been aware of him for maybe 4 or 5 months. I've been a supporter of him the whole time.
Right.
But
right.
I got the right to comment on somebody's shit if it's inaccurate.
Right, right.
Why that make me a hater, nigga?
Because you don't fall in line or follow suit.
You know, I hate these niggas. Yo, DeJuan has a saying that I live by now. It's one of my sayings. He said, there's no such thing. There's no perfect messengers, only perfect messages.
Yeah, yeah.
Some niggas look at you and feel like you're not capable of certain things. And I feel like that's what that is. You know, we all have people like this in our lives that love us, but they don't experience everything we do with us. So they only understand you to a limit.
Right.
When it comes to this hip hop and this basketball shit, I'm a savant.
I hear that.
Period, point blank. I've been doing this shit since I was 6, 7 years old.
Right, that's your area.
I know this shit. Mm-hmm. I know this shit. How y'all say Bill Belichick know football, or how certain niggas that are genius level at the shit they love. I know hoop and I know hip hop that way. I don't mean hip hop trivia.
Right.
I'm not going to tell you what the greatest album was or who's the first rapper to go gold, but what I'm saying is my understanding of the art form, being able to hear certain shit, certain syllables, wordplay. I'm a nigga that when I talk, if I think about it, I could tell you how many words was in the sentence I just said.
Right.
My mind breaks down words differently than other people. I'm into linguistics. That's the study of language. I understand the etymology of shit. I know shit. And at the same time, the weird thing about me is I'm a terrible speller. I may be undiagnosed dyslexic. I don't know.
You one of them niggas that can't spell restaurant?
I was a B student in school. Nigga, I scored 1,100 on the SAT.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I was good enough to get into most colleges. Right. You feel what I'm saying? But the shit I know is A-plus level. So when I made that comment, it wasn't that I was hating on Lil Russell. It was because I was privy to other information that I felt like the young brother needs to know. And I don't give a fuck about the social hierarchies or who knows who or you should do it like that, because I don't plan on being personal friends with the young nigga. But whoever's around him needs to stop having him say things publicly like that last statement that aren't completely true, because it's not true. The first one of the first artists to do a profit share with their fan base. Well, I'll give you a list of 10 right now.
Oh, he said 10.
It's 10 niggas that have done this, bro.
Well, you know, nowadays, man, the new age people feel like the history of, you know what I'm saying, most of us doesn't exist now because it's not relevant now. Like when they be saying, I'm the first to ever do this, because it's that whole Soulja Boy thing that they started doing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But it's like, it's crazy how you'll totally negate your history.
Right.
And say that you're the first part of anything.
Right. Right.
And not knowing that somebody else did that same thing. Way before you. It's just now, because you can reach more people due to social media, now you're the person that gets that, title for what that is.
Right. And he didn't mean it that way. He didn't mean it in the context of, like, I'm the greatest.
I'm the best.
Nah, that's,
right, right.
Nobody fuck with me.
That's not his vibe. But I think sometimes, even if the message is perfect, and I think in the history of hip-hop, he has, if not the best messages, one of the best messages ever. I've heard what he preaches.
What he stands for, I think, is dope as fuck.
But sometimes, no, we all have a different perception. So I could say something and be genuine, and it could be from a place of love. But if our perception is different, you will process it differently.
Right.
Like I was raised that if I don't fuck with you or if I don't say something to you, that means I don't give a fuck.
Right.
But this generation, they think niggas give a fuck that just lets you say shit and don't don't give you the right information. Just keeping your mouth shut means you give a fuck. Nah, because at the end of the day, this is how this shit works. Right. You get a nigga around you that's been agreeing with you and letting you do certain shit and not even risking losing. Sometimes you got to risk losing a friendship for it to stay real.
Yeah, yeah. You don't want your homie to up there get out of pocket if you can up there and give him the real and be honest with him, not trying to contradict what he's saying, but just trying to help him out and get to the truth. And the basis, a true homie will respect that.
And that's why there are no perfect messengers, only perfect messages. Right. It's very important for niggas who are gaining ground and accomplishing things to really live by, because sometimes, a lot of times, we run across a lot of bullshit-ass niggas.
Yeah.
And it's very easy to assess everybody as being a bullshit-ass nigga.
Yeah.
Because everybody's not going to get the time that's quantifiable enough to build a real relationship and get your attention in a way where you're going to take heed to what they say. And that's why you can't be a respect. It's got to be about the message. It's always got to be about what's being said and what the actions are saying. But here are some other people that have done what LaRussell's trying to do. And it's not quite like he did, but it's similar. It ain't the same, but it's similar. It's similar enough for somebody like that to be aware of it. Because one thing that you need in being successful is you need information. Yeah. So if you're doing something that's similar to somebody else, you might want to call this brother and be like, what worked about it? What didn't work about it?
Or put them on to your thing.
Don't be called as a yes man, because I'm one of them niggas. I've had several niggas call me after years like, hey, bro, man, I finally got that shit that you was talking about.
Right.
And I wasn't even trying to be deep. You know, some shit you way more advanced than me on, and vice versa. You may spit something at me about that. And it may be 2 years later before it clicked.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
You didn't know until it really hit your life or affected you in some kind of way.
But if you seek the right information, you can cut a lot of that time out.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I'm saying? So I'll give you a few rappers.
I want to see if I'll know any of these rappers.
Chamillionaire.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
The rapper offered fans the opportunity to invest in his music streaming website, Convos, which he co-founded. Investors can earn a percentage of the site's profits.
Okay.
RZA from Wu-Tang. The Wu-Tang Clan founder has been accepting investments for his movie projects through crowdfunding platforms.
You're losing already, buddy.
Seed and Spark. Investors receive a share in the profits. Right. Beyonce.
Come on.
The superstar singer has offered fans VIP packages for her shows that include the option to invest in her Parkwood entertainment company. Jay-Z, the rapper turned businessman, co-founded Arrive, a venture capital firm that allows fans to invest in to invest in startup companies.
He just badmouthed him too.
Who did? Me?
L.A. Russell.
Did he? He badmouthed Jay-Z?
Yeah, because he said that
Lil Russell.
Lil Russell.
Yeah, niggas gonna think he's from L.A.
Like, L.A. Russell.
Where
LA,
you from,
L.A. Russell, right. Nah, he said that they came at him with an offer and it was trash.
Oh, okay.
He also, it was Roc Nation that he was.
Roc Nation, yeah.
Because he clarified, he was like, I don't know if Jay-Z even knows that this is what the deal they offered me, but shout out to Jay-Z, but this is what.
But we all know who Roc Nation is.
Right. He got to watch that, though. I'm going to tell you, I had a similar situation a couple years ago with the whole, Tony Baker, Precious, and all that whole situation. I was in the right for sticking up for who I thought was my friend, just like on the other side, they were in the right for sticking up for their friends. Right. But them niggas have way more followers.
Right, so you're going to lose.
So I'm going to lose, even though I'm in the right, because sometimes I talk loud and crack jokes, and, you know, I bag on churchy folks. That whole element is just going to assume, you know what I'm saying? And I reap the benefits of bullshit that wasn't even mine. Certain shit you don't even know how to handle it until you look back. Like, man, maybe it was the right thing to do, but maybe it was the wrong thing to do. Because you want to stick your neck out for motherfuckers that'll do it for you.
Right.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, long story short, but what was you saying?
No, we were talking about the Jay-Z situation. Jay-Z might not have known that they offered LaRussell that deal.
You believe that shit?
I don't know.
I don't believe that nobody can get signed or get offered to sign to a label that nigga don't know nothing about.
But here's the thing.
Maybe.
They offered him zero money?
$15,000
for like something.
Bullshit.
Some bullshit, and he wasn't going to.
He wasn't going to take it.
That's crazy.
But I'm saying this. So a company like that, they are allowed to sign artists without having run it by him? Like, here's the, have bullshit artists on not. This thing?
But here's the genius thing about one of the things LaRussell does, but it, I think if you're doing a transaction with him, this will probably come to mind, is a lot of his shit is done in his backyard. So I got to take your word for it on ticket sales. I got to take, because you could easily go in there and buy your own tickets.
Yeah.
So I got to take your word for it that you got 500 people in this backyard 50 times this year.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, I get it. You can't tell if he sold those tickets.
Because it's not in the system.
Right.
Even with this comedy shit, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Yeah.
With ours, we could send them Excel spreadsheets and all that, but they still going to fuck us until we can prove whatever we did outside the system within the system.
Right.
Like, for example, like, once we get into the improv system, we're not starting off at the top of the totem pole.
Right.
We're not getting 90% door deals and 80% door deals. They're going to offer us some bullshit because that's leverage. These are our clubs.
Right.
This is our establishment. You got to pay us before we pay you.
Right.
And so they're going to make you sell out shows a whole year. Then the next year you may get a deal. Then you sell out, you know what I'm saying? But they're not going to let you step in unless you're just a heavyweight.
Yeah, you coming with it.
Right. But. Yeah, so anyway, go back at it.
No, what I was saying, I totally forgot. But we were talking about, wait a minute. That fucked me up.
We was talking about Ray J's song, Wait a Minute?
No, talking about LA Russell's
LaRussell.
Backyard. Is it LaRussell?
His name is LaRussell.
It probably is really a real LA Russell.
In real life. His name is LaRussell.
LaRussell.
Yeah.
Like he does some good performances. Like I didn't peep him out. He come with a lot of energy and everything like that. But like you said, you don't know if he's actually selling all those tickets to those people. He can just be popular in his neighborhood and everybody just come and, you know, come to the backyard and just be packed out.
Yeah.
And you can portray it as, oh, I sold.
And let me tell you something, bro. I did a show in downtown LA about 6 months ago. Sold about 600 tickets.
The one that was downstairs?
Downstairs.
Yeah. Bartender.
Right. Yeah, he bartended that. I can't tell. I can send those numbers over to them folks, but they don't give a fuck.
They wouldn't believe it.
They'll believe it.
What would you have to do for them to care or to believe you?
You know what? I would have to probably, I don't know. I guess I would have to do that at a few of their spots.
What about the video, showing a video of it? Oh, that don't really matter because they need to see ticket sales.
Yeah, exactly. Because when you do deals with clubs, you send them your spreadsheets of what you've made in certain markets. And if you've been to that market several times and have outsold some of their talent, you could probably get it, you know, if you could prove it. I've done a show in a city where it was a big name there, and I did as well as he did. So when I go back to that city, the clubs for me are better, because you just don't have to worry about shit.
Yeah, it's already set in stone.
But about that payment though?
I mean, shit, it goes straight to you. You sell it through your website. For me, I've been doing shows at places where I control the door, the alcohol, and the food.
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm saying. Like for LaRussell and whoever else, if you're doing a backyard show and you got people coming two or three times a weekend for a show, can't you show the number, the count, and then how much money you made? Can't you show like receipts and like, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Documents of how much money you made per show?
For sure.
Yeah, I think that's he got it in his backyard, but he can prove that he got them ticket sales.
You know, but the thing with clubs, I won't say theaters, but probably theaters too. With clubs, there's only 52 weekends in a year.
Right.
So no matter how well you sold, I'm pretty sure that all of these agencies have an artist that has done something comparable to you. Unless you're doing astronomically more than the top nigga.
Right.
If you're falling at the middle of the pack, they got somebody there for that already. Yeah. So how do you get them to give you more money?
They might see the potential. They might say, okay, this nigga,
right.
If he had a backing, if we backed him, nigga, he could be doing 1,500 the show.
Right.
Seats the show. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Which I think he's on his way to.
Right.
Yeah, you know, I just, you know, I see a few things. He's talking publicly and giving a lot of game, so I think that's dope. I just, you know, I don't want to see him fuck himself out of money, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Blacklist himself.
Yeah, but he, you know, he definitely deserves all the shit, all the stuff he has going on.
Yeah, his energy was crazy at some of the performances I seen in his backyard.
Uh-huh.
And then all of a sudden, he was just on my feed constantly. So I was like, oh, he really out here grinding.
That's what happened to me, too. He was on my feed, about 6 months ago every day.
Yeah. And then I was like, then all of a sudden, I see the video, and it's like, not to say he was bad mouthing, but he wasn't giving off like he had a good experience with the record label trying to sign him. And he felt like if he'd have took the deal, he was putting it out there like, yeah, see, if you don't know, or they'll just take advantage of you and put you in a trick bag and and you ain't really paying attention, they'll just let it go. But then when I came back and said, nah, I didn't, he was like, then they wanted to give me more money. And it's like, they would have just let me settle for the bullshit. And it's like, well, most companies be like that.
You ever hang with a motherfucker and realize, this motherfucker just want me, this motherfucker just want me around to give him props.
Oh, shit.
Like, this motherfucker ain't interested in, like, what I'm going through. Or this ain't, you know what I mean? This motherfucker just, he looking for a big up.
He looking for a big up homie.
I realized that about the homegirl's dog.
Oh, shit.
If every time I go to the house, the dog is in my face, it's running around, you know what I'm saying? But it's not genuine love.
Oh, shit.
Because within 5 minutes of being there, every time I go to her house, the dog drops a bone in my lap. It just wants me to throw the bone so she can bring it back to me.
Right, all day.
And I realized that, and I got to thinking, man, have you ever realized that somebody was trying to isolate you, like trying to put you in a position where you could be within their control?
I don't know. I'm trying to think.
It ain't physical because bad bitches do it to niggas all the time. They call it quality time. When a bitch wants always, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I was about to say being married, nigga.
That's really isolation when somebody's trying to control you. You can't think of no examples.
Because I feel like I would see through it.
Okay, being married.
I feel like I would see through it before we got to that point where I was like, oh, this nigga's trying to.
No, you're not. You're married.
Huh? Well, hey, nigga. Niggas be having different views on marriage.
No, I listen to me. Yeah, like I said this before. When it's first starting off, nigga, everything's good with marriage.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? It's when the harder times come together. And then y'all both have a certain outlook on how the shit is.
Yeah,
that's when the shit get like unbearable.
Like meaning if something big happens and you say we should do it like this, and she says no, we should do it like that.
And neither one of y'all is coming to a compromise.
Oh, she gonna compromise.
Look, you see how confident you sound in that voice.
What? Why?
That nigga.
Because I feel like. My judgment is sound, and normally we on the same page. I'm saying, but you're potentially saying that she might feel this one way, and I might feel this another way. And typically, that's not how we move.
I'm saying this. There comes a time in everybody's relationship where a person is gonna stand 10 toes, see men down on how they feel. And you may feel it's not that fucking serious. She's gonna feel like you better ride with me, or it's gonna be a motherfucking problem. They have those moments, bro.
What do you do in that scenario, bro?
They have those moments, bro.
I don't know, man. Because I feel like I'm trying to think.
that's what I was saying. But no, what it is this. Jai, how long you been married?
Shit, a year and a half.
Right. 10 years, my nigga. That attitude is different. Kids come into play. Whole bunch of shit is different. When somebody gets to the point where, honestly, yeah, everybody agrees, like my first 4 or 5 years, oh, shit. Now you can tell me nothing about this woman.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? But then circumstances start happening. Conversations be had. You got a view on something that she feels, why the fuck you think like that?
Right.
And it turns into now you're a asshole in everyday life just because you disagreed on this one fucking thing.
Right.
It depends on what it is, too, I think.
They don't give a fuck. If you have that view that you don't agree, and she's like, why are you like that?
Yeah.
It's going to cause a problem with other shit in your life.
I remember
because she feel that you feel a way and you have a certain mind state about that particular subject.
I remember,
trust me.
I was dating this chick, and we was all sitting down talking. It was me, her, a few other people, a couple of her family members. And I said, and I still mean this to this day, because one of the women at the table would have had a son. And I said that, yeah, I think all kids should know how to use guns.
Oh,
you should
shit.
Take them to the range, teach them how to shoot.
See?
Because even as children, you have to stay dangerous and be able to defend yourself. You know what I'm saying? Maybe, but what happened? Somebody break in and they done got me already because I'm asleep. And now you, and it's my son and you. I don't want my son hiding behind you, bitch. I want my son looking for the pistol so he can get off on this nigga.
Now, you see how he just said that?
Now, caused
what
a riff.
Now, what if you got a woman that don't believe in no violence?
I had one.
And no gun.
I had one. Do you know?
I wouldn't marry her.
Do you know? But look.
No. Mind you, now, real quick, you asked me a question, so I answered.
I get you.
But you know, the last thing you said earlier, it was about 30, 40 seconds of information. I sat back and listened to it. I nodded my head. I said, okay, cool. I can't refute that because I ain't been married for 10 years.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I came, but nah, nigga, that ain't going to happen. I don't know.
Because
so
I
shut up and been quiet, but you asked me a question. I was like, I don't know if I would. You know, when I married the chick, I asked all the questions I thought I would need to know if this woman was good for me.
Right.
Or if I was good for her.
But that was you based.
Hmm?
Everything that you asked her was you based. Or should I say me based? Like it was based on you.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? What you particularly liked and disliked, or what she liked and disliked. But it wasn't every single subject. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
Like certain subjects, you may feel a certain way about, let's just say, rapists.
Mm-hmm.
You feel that they should be maybe castrated, decapitated, whatever.
Right.
You get what I'm saying? And you'll say that.
Right.
She'd be like, why are you being so inhumane?
I mean, shit, I'm
you get what I'm saying? And it come back.
I'm trying to think of what could she disagree with me on.
Because of the way you said you would get rid of this person.
I've had that.
No, I'm not talking about that because she would agree with that. She'd be like, fuck them niggas.
But sometimes it goes a different way in certain subjects.
Right.
It don't always go down the same.
Think of what could we possibly disagree on.
Like for me, it was a gay thing.
I'll tell you,
it was a gay thing for me.
Right.
Like, I personally, I don't have a problem with gay people. My favorite uncle was gay. But the thing is, when it comes up on screen or something like that, I tend to, all right.
I turn the channel.
Yeah.
Let me know when it's done. Like, I'll tell my wife that. Right. I'll be like, let me know when it's done.
And she had a problem with that?
She goes, what's up with you? Like, because it'll be like.
But she didn't know this 10 years ago or 13 years ago when I was dating?
No, and I think what it is you don't harp on that so much when you first dating. That ain't something you harp on.
My wife know all about all that.
But no, but I'm saying you don't harp on it because you're dating. That ain't something you don't want to start off with, oh, I don't like this, I don't like that, I don't.
No, I'm saying, y'all was dating me, I'm sure, how long was y'all dating before y'all got married?
3 years.
Yeah, that's what I was assuming, like, you know.
But I never talked, I never said anything bad about gay
people.
To me,
it don't matter how long you've been dating.
Yeah.
To me, it don't matter how long you've been. I mean, you may get to know somebody different, you know, better, but the intimacy level when you live with somebody is a whole nother level. You know,
right,
what I'm saying? Which is why a lot of people broke up during quarantine,
right?
Because they had to spend more time with each other.
Yeah,
right.
But the thing is, the isolation part. Like, I think sometimes when you deal with a woman or a spouse that's insecure, they try to isolate you, so you can accept their insecurities.
I
think that's the wrong thing to do. I think when you're with somebody and they notice your insecurities, the better thing to do is not to allow that person to isolate you or bring you away from everything, but the better thing to do is to try to find ways to help them strengthen whatever they're insecure about. If you fuck with somebody that won't let you help them or at least contribute to, you know, making them stronger, you shouldn't fuck with them.
Right.
Right.
I agree.
Well, that isolation thing is a trip because, honestly, when you are in a marriage, sometimes you be in that relationship so, like, cold. Let's just say it don't work out. When it don't work out, it seems like you don't even know how to function.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's bad. Right. You know what I'm saying? You should still be able to know how to function
right.
just because you're not with a person.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But because of how marriage is and what they told us how marriage should be, you know, damn near not hanging with your homeboys or homegirls, most of your time should be spent with that.
I never heard that shit. That's not true. I've heard that shit my whole life,
yeah.
but not from my people. Like,
right.
Yeah, I mean, some of them have different ways, but they always say the thing that mainly don't you be hanging out past a certain time because your other spouse might trip. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. There's certain guidelines that you have when it comes to marriage that you didn't have when you were dating.
Of course. Right. Yeah.
You know
hell
what I'm
yeah.
saying? And then it's a trip because it's like, why did this shit have to change? This is the reason why we got fucking married in the first place.
Right.
Because
right.
what we were doing beforehand.
Right, right.
But now you got this set of rules of marriage. I have this set of rules of marriage. We talk about it, meet in the middle on those rules.
Easy answer.
But it's weird.
Do what I say, nigga.
Yeah, it's
most,
weird.
Most relationships are working because the nigga is doing what the woman feels like he should be doing.
Yep, yep.
And for me, I can't be in a relationship
right.
like that. It ain't about happy wife, happy life, nigga.
Right.
To me, the man is the head of the household.
True that,
I am a Old Testament Cretan in that way.
Yeah.
Because why? I mean, when it comes to the most important shit, food, protection, you know, dependability,
sex.
Security, if I'm providing that, what's more important than me? What's stronger than my word?
Nothing.
Nothing you feel if I am doing everything I'm supposed to do as a man. Mm-hmm. Most niggas are okay with their woman allowing them to fuck them, but not allowing them to fuck with them. Meaning, how you take dick, but not my word.
Right.
Shouldn't it be the other way around before a bitch start
right.
taking dick? Shouldn't
right.
she take my word first and
right.
then
you gotta
accept dick into her life? But these bitches are accepting dick of men they don't respect and thinking that that makes the man less than respectable. No, it makes you less than respectable because you don't have a system in place to check yourself.
Right.
You think that everything in life is supposed to be based on the way you feel as a woman, and that's bullshit. And that's why you 41, 42, 43, and you out here single, like
shit.
I am.
Shit, it's some 20-year-olds that's single because of that same goddamn thing.
Yeah.
Don't know how to play their role.
Compromise.
Like I'm not saying that your role is less than a man or anything. But the thing about it is, women require so much from a man in order for him to be the man.
Right.
But then you don't respect what a man is saying or doing.
Right.
How the fuck is he supposed to respect you and what you come with?
You ever get into it with a chick and she criticize your family? You got to watch some type of bitches.
Yeah.
But look at your mama.
Yeah.
Look at your sister. Ain't nobody in your family shit. That's a woman that wants to isolate you.
That's crazy.
And make you a slave to her insecurities. Go ahead.
No. I was just coming. That's crazy.
But that also could come from a motherfucker complaining about his family.
Yeah.
To
true.
The point where she
sometimes
feel comfortable enough to talk shit.
The way you talk
fighting.
Shit.
Yeah.
You pissed off my mom's like that.
Oh, since he all up in my pussy, I could talk about his people too.
Hey, I'm going to tell you one way. Because look, everybody has a way that they do things. But here's a way to figure out if somebody is a woman is trustworthy. I'm just saying man to woman. Give her a little bit of personal information. Nothing too personal,
mm-hmm.
but give her something personal enough
Ooh,
to
shit.
Where if it seems important.
Right.
And see how long it takes her to try to use that against you.
Mm.
If you ever tell somebody something that is genuinely close to your heart, that is something maybe that's trauma related or that affected you as a child or a teenager, and this is genuinely something, you know, that, you know, concerns you or has affected your life, and a person takes that and uses that against you, that's the type of motherfucker that's going to try to isolate you and make you become a servant to their insecurities.
Right. Yeah.
Damn, I hate to say that shit was close to home.
Damn.
Hey, they create conflict between you and your friends and your loved ones. Often spread lies and rumors.
Well, she ain't never did that, so she's safe on me.
I remember I had a chick one time tell another chick that I tried to fuck her, and I didn't.
She lied.
Damn,
she lied.
She lied on your dick.
Because she was in competition with the other girl, and she was trying to get her up on the other girl because she has a feeling that the girl likes me. So all she's trying to do is destroy that possible connection with me and other chick.
So in other words, she threw salt like some niggas do when they try to confide in
her. It wasn't even the chick he was fucking.
It wasn't even the chick I was chick fucking. That, she lied and made it seem like I was trying to smash her.
So the other girl would get turned off.
Right. But I'm already smashing the other girl, and I was trying to do business with her to rent the studio.
She on. She deserved every part of it. That's crazy.
God!
Yeah, that's
God, crazy. God, God!
That shit is crazy.
What about people encouraging the person to spend more time with them, thereby reducing their available time for other relationships? So yeah, that's that isolation shit where somebody, they want all your time. I'm talking about if it's 10 hours, y'all kick, you got extra a week, they want 9.5 hours of that 10.
You got like a 23-hour lockdown, nigga. You got an hour of free time, nigga. That's crazy.
I've always thought that was weird, and I never did understand that about marriages. It's like, I understand that you want all my time.
But you can't have it.
But when is the time for me to make the money in order for us to progress?
Right.
You want me to be around you all the time, but we're not making no money over here being around each other. Then we're going to argue when we ain't got a place to live.
Right.
So it's like, either let me go majority of the time, so when we do come together, we can have the best of time. Worried about no money problems.
Right.
We go where we want, do what we want, pay for what we want. And it's a memory we could always hold, but then I got to get right back to this motherfucking lab.
Right back to the lab.
You know what I mean?
It never stops.
Nah. That shit is weird, though. It's like, don't do shit to me. As far as before you got married, shit was fine because that's why y'all got married.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I feel like keep the same shit going. It just now y'all made a commitment to the world, or should I say in front of the world, that y'all just want to be with each other. But that does not mean change the dynamic that was working before y'all got married.
Right.
So, you know, to me, that's why I'd be thinking that 90% of marriages really fail, because motherfuckers come with their own interpretation of what a husband should be and what a wife should be.
Right.
Instead of just being what y'all are for each other and call it a day.
See, some people are full of shit early, and some people are just as full of shit early, but they are able to conceal their true intentions until they have a deeper connection with you. But it's not really a connection. It's really them looking to be admired, or they're looking for admiration. So they're just doing the necessary things to gain that from you.
Right.
But some motherfuckers tell you day one, I just want to fuck, bitch. That's all I want is to put you. And they man or woman enough to live in that and just go on to the next. And they find somebody.
Right.
And other people, they use guile. Because of some type of trauma that happened in childhood, they always got to sneak and eat their food in the corner. You feel what I'm saying? Right. So they'll sneak you to the corner thinking, and it's dark and it's cozy and it's warm, and you think, this is a place of safety.
Comfort and safety. Right.
But no, that's not what it is. That's a place they could put you in and leave you there.
Right. Mm. Right.
Some people just want to leave you in a corner.
Yeah.
A dark corner. That's why you got to have a flashlight.
He said that's why you got a flashlight.
Yeah, man.
Hey, yeah.
Because some people, you know, intimacy and connection is a great thing for you know, men and women to have with each other.
Yeah.
But some people don't want that. They're just looking for adoration.
Yeah, you can't
control power over you.
You can't control love. You know what I'm saying? Like, some people be feeling like they love a person, they feel like they should love them the way that they want to be loved. Like, some people don't do it like that.
Yeah, love is different. Do you know that the largest recorded orgy ever involved 250 participants and took place in Japan in 2007?
Nah.
Wow.
Somebody
the largest,
in the
200 what?
250 people had sex at one time in Japan in 2007. Largest orgy ever recorded.
That's even more than group sex. That's mass sex.
And I'm gonna tell you right now, just thinking about that, the nastiest part of that is some nigga probably nutted on another nigga by accident.
No, please.
Yeah, but what how many times you got to change the condom?
Right.
Are you going? I don't think I'm
condom stat.
Nigga, like 13 condoms on at once.
Nigga on
and
the side.
Slide one off every 2 minutes. Yeah.
You would change. You got to change before you get in.
You got to put 13 condoms on, nigga, and yeah, slide one off crazy. Every 2 minutes, bro.
If you fuck four different bitches at the same time, are you supposed to use a different condom on each chick?
For her pH balance. Because
you're just taking it out of one bitch.
For you, it don't matter. One, but for them, it kind of do.
Huh?
For you, it don't matter. But for them, it kind of do.
Yeah,
right. pH balances
it's,
and shit.
It's no reason to even do an orgy unless it's raw with the women, right?
Yeah, because, shit. Yeah, condom.
Do you put condom orgies, nigga?
Condom
when you hit multiple chicks, do you use a condom or do y'all?
You definitely use a condom.
I use a condom, yeah. But the thing about it is, too, though, I found these things.
What you mean, bro?
I found these things called VCFs.
What is a VCF?
Vaginal contraceptive film.
Mm.
You pop them motherfuckers in the girl's shit. 15 minutes later, you can do what the fuck you want to do for 3 hours.
Beak up.
I've never heard of it. This is like a pussy cough drop?
Yeah, basically.
A pussy drop.
It's like,
a pussy drop.
You know them little Listerine strips that dissolve? It's kind of like that.
Yeah.
But you put it in there, you let it dissolve for 15 minutes.
And the pussy starts fizzing.
He said, stop.
Yeah, oh, shit.
I don't know about no fizzing.
The top of a Sprite somebody poured roughly.
He said, top of a Sprite.
That white fizz on the top of the pussy.
The science fair shit with the volcano, the baking soda, and the vinegar, nigga.
Who the fuck shook your Sprite up? It's all this white fuzz at the top of
it. Hey, every white fuzz is cracking before you even fuck, nigga. That's a problem.
But no, them shits work, bro.
That's dope.
I've been using them motherfuckers for the last 7 years.
What are they called again?
V as in vest.
Uh-huh.
C as in
VCFs. That's what you said.
Yeah, V as in vest. C as in cold. F as in fun.
Well, so what is y'all protocol on eating pussy? If you got your wife laying here and abroad, do you eat your wife pussy first and her second, or do you ever do anything with the other bits after your wife, or you do everything to your wife first and then the bits?
All together. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Get it cracking.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But yeah, you definitely use condoms. You know what I'm saying?
Because it's not an orgy. It's just a threesome.
And
now,
then,
I get what you're saying about the multiple boxes. Then you got 7-8 boxes.
I'm saying,
you start off,
hitting your wife with a condom on an orgy?
No, not the wife.
So that's what I'm saying. So you hit the wife and then you take it off?
Yeah.
No, you hit the girl first. Mm-hmm. Like the wife is chilling.
Oh, so you finish off in the wife every time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's a progression.
Yeah.
Man, why not just get a bra tested and then just fuck both of them raw?
I can do the VCF.
Because you married?
Yeah. No, but I can do the VCF in the bra.
And then because you married?
I can do the VCF in the bra.
Is your wife eating pussy?
Yeah.
So what the fuck is the point of condoms?
Because
simple fact, pregnancy.
So yeah. I mean, I get that bitch being but on the pill.
But VCF helped that too. Like when you explain it to chicks, and you let her know and be like,
"Me
and the wife been using it for like at least 7 years. Ain't never had a scare."
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? Ain't never had a scare. When that bad boy,
burp after you put.
Excuse me. Stupid.
Yeah, pussy burp. We good.
But no, that shit. Yeah, that shit works. That shit works.
Is it over the counter?
You can get it from CVS or anybody, but it's like in that part where they got to come and get it.
So when you bag a random chick, you call your wife, say I'm a finish. She said, "Cool, go ahead." You just stick a VCF in her. So you carry those with you everywhere.
I get those. Yeah, me and the wife get those.
Where do you buy them?
CVS.
Okay.
CVS or Rite Aid or wherever, like, you know what I mean?
Dwayne Reed, if you're in L.A. Dwayne Reed, New York.
Hey, you just put me up on something. God. Next segment.
Siege monstrosities.
You hate criticism. You let a man cartwheeled and punch you and said you wasn't living with him. They show out around you, won't do a thing about it. Thugging and harmonizing, watch them sing about it. You have a white mind. You think blacks are lazy and mixing Kool-Aid with they white wine. And that's the thing about it, can't even talk to you. Ghost of a real nigga, watch me walk through you. You fight your girl, man, cuss out the mailman. Go to jail and become a trail van. And that's the thing about it, God dropped you a breath, man, out the sky. Said, take this, and I'll think about it.
You a bitch ninja.
You a bitch ninja.
You know what you do.
Probably fuck around and try to kick ninjas. You a bitch ninja. You a bitch ninja.
You know what you do.
Probably fuck around and try to kick ninjas. You a bitch ninja. You a bitch ninja.
You know what you do.
Probably fuck around and try to kick ninjas. You a bitch ninja. You a bitch ninja.
You know what you do.
Probably fuck around and try to kick. I'm telling you, he's trained. And I know what you'll say. You'll run way back over there and say shit's happening today. The money, the ops, the drop. But I ain't no dope dealer and I ain't running from no cops. And why should I? I'm so hard to find. A spy had to hire a private eye, cause I'm a private guy. Nobody knows where I live, not even my kids. They have stains on their hearts. It's blood on the bib. Your mother went against my wishes. Aside from high, she was good for the dishes and to buy some fries. Call me when you can dunk, cause I'm a punk. Though I'm not a good father, I'ma need my chunk. You a bitch ninja. You a bitch ninja.
You know what you do.
Probably fuck around and try to kick ninjas. You a bitch ninja. You a bitch ninja.
You know what you do.
Probably fuck around and try to kick ninjas. You a bitch ninja. You a bitch ninja.
You know what you do.
Probably fuck around and try to kick ninjas. You a bitch ninja. You a bitch ninja.
You know what you do.
Probably fuck around and try to kick ninjas.
God, God, God. Hey, man, we're back with two special guests on Roast with the Host Morning Show. Hey, first of all, I have an esteemed guest, man. One is my relative. You know, I remember when he was skinny and he ate himself into a dad bod. And now he's just a knowledgeable meatball. Always looks like he's ready to jump in a bowl of spaghetti. My guy, Maine Chufer. What's going on, Maine?
Sand and dough.
Man, so I got a new segment. It's called the Chewford segment. What's your segment about?
Man, let's chew, man. I'm trying to chew with y'all, man. So I'm trying to help y'all make some money.
So we're going to teach y'all sports betting. And to my left is someone who's extremely talented, you know, from not the south side of Chicago, but from Evanston.
North side.
The north side of Chicago. A very smart and astute place to be from. Give it up for Ebonique Wool. Why am I saying give it up? We have no audience. But there's thousands of people watching. So we'll start with Ebonique. Ebonique, so you do a plethora of things, right?
Indeed.
Musician, actress, dancer.
You added the
dance. I got a pop lock video of you right now. I want to pull it up for the world to see. But, I mean, what brought you here? Like, what was the thing that brought you here and put you in a position to explore other things as an artist?
Entertainment brought me to LA. I came out here to pursue music and acting and all of these things. And second year I got out here, I got a pretty big agent for commercial and I was able to be freelance. So I've been freelance out here in LA for 8 years doing all of those things except pop blocking.
Except pop blocking?
I'm not a good dancer.
Upper body choreography. That's what pop blocking is.
TikTok dancer. That's all I got.
Advanced TikTok dancer. Okay.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. What motivates you to do things?
I would just say my passion for not going back to an office job.
Right.
I enjoy not being in an office and not having a schedule and being free.
Right.
And so it motivates me to get creative and stay active and doing things and getting out there and meeting new people, even if it makes me uncomfortable.
What's wrong with an office job?
I don't like being in an office from 9 to 5. You got to sit, you got to look at whatever's on your desk every day, and you got to be around the people that you may or may not get along with. I get along with most people, but something about being in an office, there's like, it feels like a high school sometimes.
Right, right.
There's just additional tensions that aren't normally, like if you don't work in an office, it's like a phenomenon, the office culture.
How do you take unsolicited criticism? Like somebody walking up to you like, girl, I mean, you're cute, but the fuck, that hat? Oh my gosh. I wouldn't wear it, but it's okay though. Like how do you take because what happens is as an artist, especially being, you know, beautiful, a lot of times people want to give you unsolicited advice or, you know what I mean? So how do you suck a duck? You know what suck a duck means?
Mm-mm.
Suck a duck means like dodging the haters. How do you duck a sucker?
I feel like those are two things for me. So like unsolicited criticism on Instagram is different than sometimes in person, like somebody coming up to you and saying something.
Right.
I'm better at Instagram unsolicited because I'm pretty open. Like sometimes I'll even like think about it from their perspective. I'll be like, okay, how could I see? I could see maybe why you think this. And then I'll give them a thoughtful answer back. And if they're weird, like if their answer back from that is ridiculous, then I'm just like, okay, for sure, live a good life.
Right.
But like sometimes I will really try to see where people are coming from and then give them my thoughtful answer back. And every once in a while they have a thoughtful response and I don't mind doing that.
Right.
But if they're out left field, then I just let it be left field and be like, okay, have a great life.
Okay. Yeah, okay. If your son was a gay prostitute,
no,
would you let him borrow your clothes?
I would, but prostitution is a dangerous profession, and I would highly recommend against it. Everybody can do what they want to do, but
what about your son? He's not everybody.
I know that's the next thing I was gonna say, but I would rather they not do such a high risk job, so I would be against that. But they could borrow my clothes anytime, but I'd be like, maybe don't do that as a job.
Okay, I had to throw you off a little bit.
That was big left field, but that's okay. We're here.
How do you understand empathy? What does empathy mean to you?
Empathy to me means putting yourself, like the most basic definition, putting yourself in somebody else's shoes and trying to, you know, emotionally understand and relate to them. Sometimes it's possible. I do a pretty good job of being empathetic, and then every once in a while I'm not, because I can be sometimes not super understanding. Like if I feel like somebody's maybe being too emotional or overdoing certain situations, sometimes I will be dismissive, but overall I do try. I always try to be empathetic.
How do you know when you're smarter than somebody?
That's a tough one, because sometimes I've made the mistake in thinking that I was smarter than somebody based off of maybe like some foolishness, like not them not knowing words or something like that. And then, you know, he turns around and it's just book learning, and then they're smarter than me in a lot of other ways. So I've had to check myself in thinking that I'm smarter than somebody, because sometimes it bites you in the butt.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Pretty good answers, huh, Tremaine? Yeah. She has PR training, I can tell.
I did go to school for PR. But those are my genuine answers.
These are Obama-esque answers, nigga. She is a White House pundit on her spare time.
Not Condoleezza. She's all right and all, but
Condoleezza Brown Rice, not right. That is fucking hilarious, man. What's the difference between somebody who's weird and someone who's highly intelligent?
I'd say that those two more often correspond than not. In Chicago, weird is different than I feel like in LA. I learned that weird is like an insult out here. And I used weird more freely back in Chicago, because like being weird can be good where I'm from. Like, oh yeah, you're a weirdo. But like people like weirdos sometimes. But if you say weirdo out here, people be like, fuck you mean?
Right. Yeah. No, I ain't gonna lie. I'm 40. So a younger woman, we were debating and she said I was weird. And I was like, I almost called her a bitch. I'm like, what the fuck you mean? But that's just an expression now. You weird. Like, but it's playful.
Like, you different.
But our generation, we don't play weird.
Right.
Why do you guys call it? How old are you?
I'm 35.
Oh, she's. So how do you look so young?
Skincare, sunscreen.
Not that 35 is old. I don't want to be disrespectful. But there's no way I thought we would have similar memories. So you know who. Who's somebody that a young person would know?
Monica and Brandy.
You know Monica and Brandy.
Of course. Me and my best friend did that song, The Boy Is Mine, in a talent show.
You know who Lil Zane is?
Yes. A rapper.
That's crazy. You know who M.O.P. is?
No.
Not M.O.P. You know who Daz is?
No.
Crucial Conflict.
Yes.
Okay. Midwest.
Hey,
okay.
In the middle of the bomb.
Hey, yeah, she knows.
Oh, yeah, she's from over there. So. Okay.
She knows.
Okay.
Do you think that there's an attack on black masculinity? You're mixed with black, right?
Yeah, my dad is white and my mom is black.
So do you think that there is a serious attack on black masculine men, or do you think that's some bullshit that niggas need to get over?
I do feel that there is attacks and sensitivity across the board. I do, because, you know, right now is a very sensitive time for everybody, I feel like.
Right.
Like, everything that's being said can be taken a lot of different ways. I do feel that that whole stereotype that they say, like, if you want to be a famous black actor, you have to cross-dress at some point.
Put on a dress, right?
Put on a dress. And I feel like, strangely, that's true. But I also feel like white men don't have a problem with that. And it's always been very comfortable to be, like, fluid, gender fluid.
Right.
And that there is hyper awareness in the black culture with men. And it's very not okay to say that you're gay. And a lot of, it's more recently been, people are getting better at being understanding, but black men, I think, have been forced to be hyper masculine because of slavery and being, what's the word? Like, you know, you're emasculated through slavery.
Right.
So I think we've hyper overextended the opposite way since then. And maybe, and also I feel like in African culture, there's a lot of like hyper masculinity too. So I don't know. I think there's, it's like going drastically in both right. different directions at the same time. There's a lot. So that the answer is yes and no.
Right, right. Why is a woman's place behind a man?
So you're stating that it is just by default.
However you process it, it's up to you.
Why is a woman's place behind a man?
Yes.
So that he could take the first punch and that we could just be there to help and clean up afterwards.
So you don't believe in gender roles?
I do. In my relationship, we do have gender roles. Though I do feel like, you know, obviously times are constantly changing and gender roles today are not the same that they used to be right. in our grandparents' time even. Also because of like just statistics and how many single parent homes, like women have to be the bread earners in a lot of their families. So I think that it's women have had to step up in different ways and therefore gender roles have had to change just due to like society and women have to provide for themselves in a lot of scenarios.
Right.
So there are gender roles and I would like to live the soft life. That's my statement.
That's dope. That's dope. What should women have to do to prove their womanhood? Because you got women and then you have little girls. Just like you have men and you have bitch ass niggas. So what should be in place for women to have, or girls to have to prove that they're deserving of the title of being a grown ass woman?
I mean, that's a loaded question because sometimes I feel like if a woman is providing and doing for herself, sometimes there's men out there that are saying that and it's like they're asking for like a lot. And I'm like, if you want to provide for the woman that you're with, she should, and she's holding, you know, she's providing a home life and all these things. Like, what are you asking of her? Like, sometimes it's doing a lot.
Right.
But I think that if you're in a relationship and you feel that the woman is making your life better and making your life easier and doing all the things to provide a home and a setting that you can feel happy to come back to, then that's what you want. That's it.
When is being selfish okay for you?
I feel like, you know, if you are trying to be like godly, then you should never be selfish. But if you're trying to kind of advance your own life and career and you're not, you know, wanting to live in a monastery and just devote your life to God and others, I think that it is okay to be selfish just to make sure that you achieve the goals that you have for yourself. You know, always balance it out. Like, don't just be steamroll over others for your own personal gain. But I do feel like, you know, there should be a balance where you feel like you're doing for others. But, you know, if you feel like you're being overstretched in any direction to the point where you can't do for yourself, then that's when you should stop and be selfish and take time for yourself.
How do you feel about small penises?
I know they exist.
I didn't mean to laugh so loud. But,
but I haven't had any of those issues in my personal life, and I'm going to keep it that way.
Have you ever been dealing with somebody and you realized they were an idiot? When and what happened?
Yeah, I feel like especially like out in the world, like in LA, sometimes you'll be, you meet new people and you give people the benefit of the doubt and you're having a conversation and then they say something like, you know, usually it's like,
Snot has a lot of protein in it.
Oh, well, yeah, no, if somebody said that, I'd be like, oh, okay, okay. And then that's when you kind of ease your way out the conversation. Like, okay, for sure. Have a good day. It's great to meet you. But yeah. Yeah, I mean, that happens all the time in conversation. You just kind of got to see your way out of that A and B conversation.
What do you think is your biggest flaw?
Oh, I got lots of flaws. Ain't nobody perfect.
Hey.
I would say, but you're perfect for me.
Oh, there we go. You hear the vocal?
Perfectly imperfect. I got lots of flaws. I would just say my biggest one is focus. I do have a tendency to like start one thing and then do another thing. Like, you know, as the interest will draw me, I will try to do one thing and then kind of get diverted. But I think it's because of my creativity and my excitement for different things as they come up. But I do need to, that isn't the thing that I'm working on, is staying focused with like the first project that I started off on instead of ending up on like step 15 onto something else.
What's worse, mental abuse or verbal in a relationship?
I mean, verbal abuse is mental abuse. I feel like.
I asked the question wrong.
Do you mean physical?
What's worse, physical abuse?
Or verbal abuse?
Yeah, my fault, man.
Okay. They're both bad. I mean, physical abuse can kill you faster, but mental abuse can also eventually lead to the same results. But so they're both bad. I don't know if there's one extremely worse than the other, but I'd say physical abuse can lead to an ultimately untimely end sooner than the other one.
What makes you feel vulnerable?
Lots of things. Opening up to others about personal information. I'm usually pretty private. Like, I, you know, even on my Instagram, like, which is like a public platform where I'm constantly posting things, I don't post about things that are super personal or like my private life or like my family isn't really on my Instagram and my relationships aren't there. So, you know, sharing things with other people that I usually keep private, I guess, is one thing that would make me feel vulnerable.
Wow. How do you handle conflict with others?
I've gotten better, but I'm not great at handling conflict with others. Like, I'm honest with other people, but like, I'm usually the type of person that if something's bothering me, I won't say anything until it gets like bad.
Really?
Yeah. Then you got to say something because now it's crazy. Or you just cut somebody off because you're like, it's easier to just cut you off than explain all the stuff that's bothering me at this point. So goodbye.
When's the last time you was full of shit?
When I ate a really big meal a couple days ago.
Thanksgiving. I mean, that's hilarious. Wow. Okay. Damn, you answered a whole lot of fucking questions. What is that? That's about 40, 50 questions, huh?
Yeah.
At least. Damn. Okay.
I feel known.
So musically, what can people expect from you? Where can they find your work? How can they reach out to you? What's a way that somebody who is serious, that has something to offer, can build with you as an artist?
I am on all streaming platforms and on YouTube. So like, you know, everywhere that you stream music, you can find me under Ebonique is my artist name. And, you know, I have my contact information on my Instagram and I respond to all emails there. If somebody's actually interested in working with me, producers, singers, writers, you know, anything like that, I'm down. I'm trying to work on a new project this year. I have like singles out and all of that stuff. So I have music out now, but I want to kind of create like a body of work that reflects my current state of mind.
Hey,
so
there we go. I know how you feel. That's very important to do shit like that. What's more important to you? Intimacy or adoration?
For sure, intimacy. Adoration gets weird. Especially if it's like a close, I don't really want to be adored because adored kind of implies love without understanding or context.
Right.
And I don't want that.
Okay. So you don't want people to tell you how great you are?
I don't like it when people do that too much, because then it gives you a false sense of yourself, because nobody's just great all the time.
So would you say the direction is more important than affection?
The direction of their love?
Like direction. Yeah, just having a direction as opposed to.
Yeah.
I do. Is there any traumas from your childhood that you constantly fight against? Like, damn, this when I was 9, that fucking clown.
Ooh. Dang. Clown phobia. No, I don't have no clown phobias. I'd say I'm a Virgo. I don't know if everybody has strong feelings.
What month is Virgo?
September. It's like end of August into September.
So what should we know about Virgos?
Well, Virgos can't let go of things. So there's so many like.
Oh, you holding on to shit.
Yeah, like I hold on to a lot of interactions where I feel either like I didn't get to say what I wanted to say because of the whole thing that I told you where I don't speak my mind sometimes until it's too late. So like I hold on to all these instances where I'm like, I wish I had said or whatever. And then also, you know, growing up a mixed kid in, you know, north side of Chicago, the suburbs, there's a lot of like, you know, colorism issues. So I feel like I had a lot of.
Chicago is racist as fuck.
Yeah, there's a lot of interesting. Evanston is actually very diverse. So I feel like.
But it's still a nigga part of town, still a white part of town.
Yeah,
still
there
a
is
Polish
that.
Part of town. Yeah, it's very, very, very segregated.
It is, but I'm all those things. Like, I'm Polish, I'm Jewish, I'm Black, you know, a variety of things. So I also felt, like, at odds and at conflict with, like, what I was and then what people would tell me I was. So, and still to this day, because when you get outside of Chicago, there was even more racism that I wasn't aware of, like, when I went to college. At the University of Illinois out in, you know, Bufuville in the middle of nowhere, people hadn't met Black people before and, you know, even more racism. So like being mixed, some Black people be like, you're white
because
right. you're biracial. And then white people, clearly I'm not white. So,
right,
so
right.
then they'll be like, oh no, you're Black. So I don't know. That's always been being mixed and having a white parent and a Black parent, from young age, having conflict with that and people saying things that were hurtful has always been a thing.
That's where I got get it from God from. Fuck them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, but I have to deal with something, especially being a woman, and your father's white.
Mm-hmm.
So do you ever feel like, you know, by dating a Black man that maybe somehow subconsciously you may be going against your father? Or do you ever feel like when you date a white man that you may subconsciously be going against the Black side? Like, is there a conflict there with who you date and how you view it?
I've never felt conflict with who I date based on my family, because my family's not the type of people that will be like, that'll even say anything. The guy that I'm dating now who is Black, I think my family likes him the most out of anybody I've ever dated. And I've dated white guys, Puerto Rican, actually, I mean, it's really just a couple of people. I haven't dated a whole bunch of people, but like, they love the person that I'm with now the most. And it's more so, my family's super chill. They like somebody that's down to earth and kind and, you know, can talk and hold a conversation. So they just more so care about who you are as opposed to what you look like.
And that's how you feel?
Oh, that for sure. That's how I feel, yeah.
I know, you know, I'm mixed too, but not like directly. I got a whole bunch of shit in me, right? But my great-grandfather, grandpa.
He's a nigga. Was,
yeah, all day long, 100%.
That's right.
But my great-grandparents moved to Pasadena in the 30s mm-hmm. because Pasadena was the first, one of the places, first places that openly accepted interracial dating.
Oh.
So my grandfather, you know, is this purple-Black man from Buxton, Canada, which is a place where, like, escaped slaves went to that offered sharecropping opportunities. And my grandmother was a Potawatomi Indian and Irish woman, but she looked white. So they moved all the way here from Allegheny, Michigan, just so they could be together. And so I know those struggles. When my grandmother started suffering from Alzheimer's, she forgot she had Black grandkids. So she would call the police on us all the time. There's niggers in the house. Like, yeah, I promise you.
Wow.
And the police would come tripping. After a while, they cut on. Like, that's Mark. That's her grandkids. She just forgetting.
Damn.
So I said all that to say, like, race is a social construct that's not even real. So, but what parts of it are real to you, and what parts of it are like they don't really bother you?
What parts of race is a social construct bother me?
Yeah, look, what part of racism is real to you? Like, you feel it constantly in your life where you're like, damn, that part really bothers me. And then what are other parts that really don't affect you?
I mean, I feel like obviously, like societal, it's real because people treat you different in a variety of social settings, whether it be from like, you know, like I work in commercial and like with modeling, like, you know, there'd be like a quota for how many black people they want on a shoot. You know, like, like, oh, yeah, we got our like token, a couple in there. We got a girl with a fro because usually they wear my hair curly. So they'll be like, okay, we got a curly hair girl and we got a one, you know, black man. And then everybody else is white. Sometimes they'll have somebody who's Asian or one Hispanic person.
Right.
But so like it's very much real in like work and like life when you're outside in the world and sometimes how you're treated when you go, you know, obviously I'm speaking to the choir, everybody who's black would know you're treated in a variety of ways in social settings. But like outside of that, you know, the like stereotypes or whatever about black people or whatever it may be, like they don't affect me in any other personal ways. Like the black people that I know, you know, you surround yourself with people that you want to be around. Like, so there, yeah, there's hood black people, but there's also hood and like ancient white people and other ethnicities. So it's, there's no like, there's no stereotype there that isn't true across the board of other races. It's just that it's promoted in different ways in society. So like, I don't know. I surround myself by black people that I enjoy being around and that's it.
So the part that affects me, because my definition of racism comes from Dr. Claude Anderson. Are you familiar with him?
No.
So Dr. Claude Anderson is an economist. He looks light-skinned guy like me and you. And his definition of racism is the competition for wealth and resources between groups of people. And the part of it that affects me based on that definition is the materialism aspect. I think a lot of times we have to be materialistic or spend on material to be taken serious in society. Sometimes it's black people, the labels you wear, the type of gear you wear, are your shoes clean, you know, little goofy shit. So that's the part that affects me that I wish would change. Let me ask him a question. Mr. Chilford, we got sports bets this week, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, what's the name of your segment, boy?
Man, we're going to call it Let's Chew. Let's Chew Sports Segment.
Let's Chew, man. So we're trying to teach the fans today how to bet, how to make money as a gambler.
Yeah.
So I'm going to ask you a series of questions. What do you believe sets successful sports bettors apart from those who are unsuccessful?
Man, you got to separate that emotion, man. A lot of people, when they lose a bet, they want to get it back immediately, you feel me? And then they get to going and doing all this irresponsible stuff and losing their money. You feel me? So you got the ability to keep it all in context and just stay calm and be relaxed. That's like that would separate like a real professional bettor who really making money from somebody who just throwing it away and just betting recklessly.
Right. So when is the time that happened to you where you bet with your emotions and it fucked you?
Man, all the time, man. It's a constant struggle, you know. You never just officially a professional bettor. You gonna keep making mistakes, but you just gotta limit the mistakes and make the least amount as possible. So, I mean, during the Super Bowl, you know, just I had the under. I forgot it was 30-some points, and I was losing it. So, and I lost the first half bet. So after that, it was an avalanche, you know, a snowball rolling downhill. I just kept betting and kept losing. So you gotta be able to calm down and not get emotional when you bet.
How do you decide what games to bet on and what data or information to consider as being important?
And a lot of people, you know, people got systems. They got power rankings. Like, say, if it's football, they got power rankings of each team, and each team has a certain amount of points. And when they match each other, you know, the different people's power ratings will determine, like, if that's a good bet. Say, you know, Dallas Cowboys is -7 against the Raiders, you know, depending on, you know, the power rankings, and that's, you know, they just crunch the numbers with, you know, the stats of all the players and stuff, and it's a science to it, you know. So depending on that, you will make your determination whether -7 is a good bet or a stupid bet.
Right, so we got a game coming this week, right? Miami Heat versus the New York Knicks, right? Are you a fan of hoop?
I am, but I couldn't.
Nothing? Okay, so you're not a Bulls fan?
I'm a Bulls fan.
Okay, cool. All right, so look, we got the Miami Heat versus the New York Knicks. The under is 206.5. What the fuck does that mean, and what should you do betting on this game to make some money?
All right, so the over-under is 206.5. So they basically saying both teams combined are going to either score over 206 or under 206. So the half a point makes it so that you're going to either the under going to hit or the over going to hit. That the half a point is the wedge. You feel me? So with that said, the over-under on the first game was 208 and a half. And it just barely hit by half a point.
So right.
That's a lesson right there. It was 209 combined. That's what the total was. So the over-under was 208. So if you had the under, you would have lost by half a point.
Wow. So Golden State, the wait, money. Let's finish this one. Okay. Okay. Cool. So with this, so I got $500. How do we bet?
So listen, we'll do it in 100. It'll make it more understandable with $100. One unit could be $100 to you if you're a regular nigga, or if you're a baller nigga. One unit could be $1,000. So the over under is 206 on the Miami Heat and New York Knicks bet, right? I'm going to go with under 206.5. It barely went over 208.5, and the opening line on this game was 207, and it went down to 206.5. So I believe that the sharps, that's some sharp play, and the sharps then brought it down. The sharps are the professional bettors. So depending on what they bet, Las Vegas is going to adjust the odds either up or down. So it opened at 207.
Right.
It went down to 206.5. I feel like that's sharp money on the under. And I feel like it's going to be a more defensive game. And it was a defensive game on the first game. It just barely inched over the first, you know, over the 208.5. So
100 on the Heat gets you what?
So it's minus 110. It's basically an even bet. So if you bet 110 or if you bet 1,100, let's put it like that. If you bet 1,100 on under 206.5, you'll make 1,000 plus your 1,100 back.
Wow. But if you go the other way on the Knicks, how does that work?
Well, I mean, over or under, it's not even a side about the Knicks or the Heat. It's just over or under 206.5.
Okay, got you. I'm sure.
So either way, you will make the same amount of money. It's basically an even bet. And I'm going to stamp that. The under is going to hit. Put your money down on that. Under 206.5 for the Knicks.
Combined total score under 206.5.
I stand on that.
Bet 1,100, make 1,000.
Yep.
Okay. Golden State, money line.
Okay,
so minus 185 versus the Lakers. So what are we talking about here?
Okay, so money line basically means just to win. It's no odds. It's no spread. They don't have to win by 1 or 5 or 10. It's just straight up to win. So I feel like this is like the West Coast dream match, right?
You lost? Explain it to her, man. We don't want to talk around her. Explain it to her. Make her understand it.
Yeah, so basically this is just an even. Like if I bet you – I feel like the Golden State Warriors are going to win, or if I feel like the Lakers are going to win, this is like an even bet. You feel me? A money line bet is just to win. But the odds are, you see, minus 185 means if you take Golden State to win, you would have to put 185 up to win 100.
Okay. Oh.
Because they're favored by 4.5 points. So you could take the 4.5 points for them to win by 4.5 or more, and you would double your money. But this, you got to put slightly like 2 to 1.
So if you bet the 100 and you take the 4.5, you double your money.
Yeah, but if you just take them just to win by no point spread, you would have to put 185 up.
To get 100.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I feel like, you know, Oracle, you know, like I was about to say, it's a dream matchup. It's a West Coast dream matchup. We got the Lakers versus Golden State. You know, the new guard versus the old guard. And I feel like Oracle Arena, even though I'm a Laker fan,
right,
I feel like Oracle Arena is going to be on fire. And I just think Golden State going to open up with the win. They're going to get the initial win. So I feel like Moneyline is a safe bet. Put 1,800 up. You put 1,850 up and get your 1,000.
Hey, smart
Golden
bet.
Golden State, Moneyline.
Okay, now the Dallas Stars. I'm not a hockey guy. It's a hockey team, right? So you got the Dallas Stars money line versus Seattle Kraken.
Yeah, so the Seattle Kraken is an expansion team. They're new in the NHL, right? And what they just did something miraculous.
An incredible name too. Kraken is like, hey, where we from on Bloods? This is like crazy. Kraken, you feel me? No, go ahead.
Nah, but the Seattle Kraken, their NHL expansion team, and they did something miraculous. They just beat the Colorado Ranch, who just won the Stanley Cup. Ooh. So they're the first team to eliminate the Stanley Cup champions in the first round of the playoffs.
Incredible. Okay. Okay.
Not only did they do that, they just beat the Dallas Stars in game one 2 days ago.
Okay.
But I'm feeling like Dallas is a great team in their own respect. So I feel like they're not gonna open up with a 2-0 deficit. I feel like they gotta win. This is a must win game for the Dallas Stars, or the whole, you know, series might be over. So I got Dallas Stars money line against the Seattle Kraken.
You had something? You was gonna say something?
I was just gonna say, so that 175 -175 means that the Dallas Stars are favored to win.
They're favored to win.
But so if you took the underdog bet, you could put in less.
Oh well, yeah, and I didn't even put the numbers up there. So if you took,
you can point it towards you.
If you took the underdog bet, if you took Seattle Kraken to win again, they would be what you call like plus 210. So that means you would bet 100 and you would get 210 plus your 100 back.
Ooh.
And that's what happened in the first game that they beat the Dallas Stars.
What's the last thing you bet on? It could be sports. It could be a nigga. It could be a record label. It could be a manager. What's the last thing you bet on? And you were like, you can say whether it's something that you got a great outcome or something where you didn't like the outcome.
I don't be betting too much. I feel like.
You ain't ever gave somebody your phone number? And they called you at like 2 a.m. breathing.
Yeah. Oh, that's the worst. I have done that. You thought I gave somebody a phone number and they were like, yeah, we'd love to work together on music. And then I did get one of those like 2 a.m. text. Hey, what are you up to? I was like, wow.
I do naked music. It's clothes off music. Okay. She's like, it's Indonesian. It's a part of my culture. No. Real, what's the weirdest thing that's happened to you in the industry where you're like, the Illuminati has to be real if this happened to them?
I did. I met a guy through a friend. They're both producers, but then the one guy was a good friend of mine. And I met the other guy through him and hung out with him to like get to know him better and work together. And then he made a move on me and was like, you should be my vanity and I'll be Prince. Everybody in the industry has somebody that they're sleeping with to get to the top. It should be me. And I was like, wow, they took a drastic left turn in this one meeting with you.
Wow.
And then I left and I was like, and I never saw him again. He was a real weirdo in the bad term.
Yeah, that's that's some weird shit. That was an old nigga too, to make a vanity reference.
He was at least 50. Young. No, he wasn't. That was the weird part too. Yeah. He was younger than me. And he made the Prince vanity reference. It was a lot. He got real like introspective and about like signs and astrology and like it got real. It got weirder than what I'm even saying.
I'm a Capricorn. We're scumbags. That's just a part of the sign. It's scumbaggery. Have you bumped into him since?
I didn't. I never ran into him again. I mean, he got some songs that were in some movies and like he's had some popularity, I guess, since then. But he's weird, so I'm happy to not run into him again. Hey.
Shout out to the weirdo.
Yeah. Yeah, though. So
now we on the parlay.
Yeah, we on the parlay.
So we got Dallas. We bet 100 on Dallas, -75. What do we win? We bet 175. We win 100.
Yeah.
Okay, so what is this parlay thing? All three equals 100? I don't understand it. To win 363, explain this to the layman.
I'm going to say this first. Like, straight bets, that's another key to winning and being successful in betting. Straight bets are the safest. So you always want to put up, you have to put up more, but it's more of a safe bet. All those are single safe bets right there because they're straight up. A parlay is when you take multiple teams. So if I take all three of those and bet them all together to where everyone has to hit, every one of those has to win for me to win everything, it's all or nothing basically. So $100 will get you $363 if you put those three bets together. So I stand on all those individually, which would be safer. But if you really want to say fuck it and you know, bet the parlay, put the 100 on all three of those, you're going to get 363 plus your 100 back.
Okay, you heard it first from Chilford, $Chilford.
Yeah, man.
Miami.
Stingy, nigga. If you niggas hit, man, go on and hit that Cash App, $Chilford, man. That's real money right there. I'm free bands right there.
Okay, Chilford. And the final thing, man, if somebody want to be shaped like you, what should they eat every day?
Man, drink a lot of tequila and fuck bitches.
Oh, man, that's too bad, man.
Yeah.
Hey, that's cool, it's man. Fun. All right, man, tell them where they can find you.
I had a lot of fun building this gut, fucking and drinking. Find me at Mainline on Instagram. That's M-A-Y-N-E _LINE. You can find me on all music platforms, Mainline. Got a lot of heat on there, so go check it out.
Tell people your church home. Where's your church home?
Holy Deliverance Church on Lincoln and what's that? Lincoln and Mountain. Lincoln and Hammond. Holy Deliverance. Grew up in there. What's that in the dough?
Okay, now look, before we go, I want you to tell everybody where they can find you. But I want to ask another question because I've heard your voice. I know how dope you are. How would you sing something on the spot for us? Is that possible? Or
Sure, I could. I'm going to sing something little. I ain't warm up or nothing.
Okay, it's up to you. I want people to hear the blessing that you have. You know, and if you need some backup, I can sing really good too.
Okay, for sure.
Yeah, I'm a very good baritone. So I can handle, you know what I'm saying, all the low tones and stuff like that. If you want to take it to, you know, if you want to do your thing, just let me know when you're ready. You can just announce what you're going to sing, if you're going to freestyle, what it's going
to
be.
I'm trying to think of what I should sing. Kind of want to do a Brandy song, but I'm blanking on, I could do The Boy Is Mine.
Okay. You want me to be, you'll be Brandy and I'll be Monica?
Yeah. Can you do that?
I don't know. I just know the hook. So
same. I'm trying to think. Ready? I mean, I think I could do it. Let's just sing the hook.
You need to. Oh.
Yo. Oh. I was going to start.
The boy. Okay. Boy is mine. You I'm need to give it up. I had about enough. It's not hard to see. The girl is mine. I'm sorry.
Sorry that you seem to be confused.
She belongs to me. The girl is mine.
I think it's time we got this straight. Let's sit and talk face to face. There is no way you couldn't mistake. And for your man, are you insane? That's your night.
I don't know the whole shit.
Good.
I just know the hook. Super dope. If they want to work with you, tell them where they can find you.
I am on all platforms. I am on Instagram. That's where I'm at the most. And my at is love, L-O-V-E, Ebonique, E-B-O-N-I-Q-U-E. Hit me up there. Answer everything. And that's where I'm at.
Man, blow her up. Tell her to come fuck with us more, man. She's very smart. We need somebody who can answer tough questions and also ask them, too. That would be dope. Hey, man, that's been this episode of Roast with the Host. And if I owe you something, get it from God. God, God, God.
This is SOS, Songs on the Spot, for real. On the spot. This is Valerie. Well, sometimes I go out by myself and I look across the water. And I think of all the things, what you're doing, and in my head I paint a picture. Well, since I've come home, well, my body's been a mess, and I miss your tender hair and the way you like to dress. Won't you come on over? Stop making a fool out of me. Why don't you come on over, Valerie? Boom, boom, boom. Valerie. Ooh, Valerie. Valerie. Did you have to go to jail? Put your house on up for sale? Did you get a good lawyer? Hope you didn't catch a tan. Hope you found the right man who'll fix it for you. I ain't shopping anywhere. Change the color of your hair. Are you busy? Did you have to pay that fine? You was dodging all the time. I hear you're still dizzy. Well, since I've been home, well, my body's been a mess. And I miss your ginger hair and the way you like to dress. Won't you come on over? Stop making a fool out of me. Ooh, why don't you come on over, Valerie? Valerie. Ooh, Valerie. Yeah. Ooh, Valerie. Why don't you come on over, Valerie?
Ooh-wee. That shit was dope as fuck. Valeray. Hey, check it out. Hold on. Hold on. Let me put this down so y'all can see my face. There we go. There go the big nose bastard. Check it out. Tremaine's betting segment. We are not financial advisors. This is just our humble opinion on what might be possible. But we are not your financial advisor. We are just people who love sports. So go ahead and place a bet. God, God, God.